The Queen of Spady. It is me, Kieran, and I'm joined by Uma.
Hi.
And Nick.
Hey.
Yeah, we're back at the mic again. We've got some news happening in the world, and we're here to talk to you about it. First, I want to talk to you about a character that we don't usually talk about in the show because he's not a European politician, but something very European has happened to him, which is the current mayor of New York, Eric Adams, who all in all is a bit of a goofball in a lot of different ways, very pro cop as you'd expect from a mayor of New York. I think he's already gotten like the record for attending the most like national days. Like if you are a people group in New York, if you are Slovenians celebrating like Slovenia's National Day, he will be there and he will cut a ribbon and he will say some things. There's been a lot of great like Eric Adams-ness.
Eric Adams doing the Albanian eagle.
Oh, he 100% has done that.
No, he has. Yeah,
has he? Okay, perfect.
Yeah. I wasn't making up a. Oh, what if he did? He did do it.
Perfect.
He's the man. I mean, he sucks. He really sucks. But if I was mayor, I would do that.
He does kind of like. If I was mayor of just whatever,
anything.
He like also while he goes to these national days, he will kind of like talk about like him being that nationality. Like he will go on like to a bunch of confused like Bolivians who live in New York, being like trying to convince them that he is also Bolivian.
He's like Hilaria Baldwin, the political politician version of Hilaria Baldwin.
To an extent, but Hilaria Baldwin has picked a lane. And
true,
is
yeah, she's Spanish. She's only Spanish, not Italian, Portuguese,
yeah,
Albanian,
no,
whatever.
He's not going out there talking about like his first basketball coach was Slovenian or whatever, and like New York would be nothing without the Slovenes, things of this nature. He's great for the odd thing that he says. I think the one that swept the internet recently that I really enjoy is his piece of advice, which is let your haters be your waiters at the table of success.
Oh god,
that absolutely rocks. That's so sick.
God damn it.
A normal thing that someone has said who is technically in control and represents more people that are in my country by being mayor of New York City. So with that said, I want to say that the character of this man is... If this was something that you would have in a school yearbook, he would definitely would have been voted most likely to be bribed by the Turkish government.
Fair enough.
Because, like, when the news... Okay, so the news has come out that he's, like, kind of embroiled with a corruption scandal with, like, a Turkish-owned construction firm in New York that
oh,
is
fuck
like,
off.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's also owned by one of Erdogan's sons.
Yeah, of course.
Of course it is. Didn't one of them like wasn't he spotted in a New York restaurant? Didn't we mention that?
No, you're thinking of the son-in-law who
oh,
was
yeah.
put in charge of the economy, fucked it up, and went on the lam, and then was last spotted in a Turkish restaurant in London.
Ah, London. Okay, so yeah. I got everything wrong, but that's okay.
No, you got the spirit the of it spirit. Right. Erdogan out here being having a bunch of children that accomplish nothing but schemes and flim-flams and various cockamamie fiascos of the sort. Anyway, this is this has invoked in me, this has returned a lot of weird information to the forefront of my brain after finding out about this, which is piece of information number one. Eric Adams also cameoed in a 2017 Turkish rom-com movie called New York Masali.
New York what?
Masali, M-A-S-A-L-I. New York Masali.
What does that mean in English?
I don't know.
Oh, so
well,
you
New
just,
York is a city.
You just gave me the name in Turkish, and then just you just left me with that.
Yeah, it's a movie. All I can say is that's the name of the movie. In it, I've seen the clip. Two, what I'm assuming are villains of the plot, try to get like political favors out of Eric Adams while speaking to him in Turkish. I only know that they're meant to be the villains of this film because when they first appear in this scene, there's like a bassoon playing, and it's just like womp 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 womp, womp. Kind of like, oh, these guys are like goofball goon characters in this rom-com. I understand immediately. Thank you, the international vibe that is a bassoon playing.
So like a cartoon, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric Adams is a bit of a cartoon, so
everything about this is Looney Tunes.
How does he look like? Hold on. Well, no. Yeah, keep talking. I'll
talk. You look up Eric Adams for vibe purposes.
Oh. That is not how I expected him to look. I thought he would be like, what's his name? Rudy Giuliani, whatever.
Oh, no,
like
no. Rudy Giuliani is a much different level of goofball.
Is his own, when he dyed his hair and like the dye was just like sweating down his face.
Eric Adams doesn't have that problem. Now that you've looked at him, that's not a problem.
In order to be the mayor of New York, you got to be like an absolute freak in one way or another. You know, I mean, Mike Bloomberg is a freak in like the worst ways possible. Rudy Giuliani used to be a freak in the worst ways possible. Still is, but then just like became comically stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Eric Adams is part of this cameo in this film, responds to these two Turkish goons by saying, "You guys are from Turkey? We love Turkey. You know, they say Brooklyn is the Istanbul of New York. We love your food. We love your music, but I don't speak Turkish. We can have a selfie, though." And then they take a selfie and the scene more or less ends. And cuts to another scene where I'm assuming the female romantic lead faints, and then the clip cuts off. I don't really understand the rest of the context.
The Istanbul of New York? What?
Yeah, the Istanbul of New York.
They do be saying that.
Everyone says
everyone says that.
I've heard you know that.
And you know what? The great thing about New York is each borough is another mega city. Brooklyn is Istanbul. Queens is Shenzhen. Shenzhen of New York. Lower Manhattan, that's like Moscow. So this is the insanity that is happening currently. Also, other Eric Adams scandal that I'm vaguely remembering, I'm going to try remember as best I can. He claimed that he was friends with a cop that died in the line of duty, and that he always carried his photo of him in his wallet. This was then like followed up with the question of, can you show us the photo? And he didn't have it on him. Then later he got his office to like send to the press a photo of what had clearly been like a recent printout on A4 paper of one time he met this cop, and then he like tea stained it and like folded it a bunch, or rather he got like an intern to do that.
Oh my, oh, wait, so he just, so embarrassing.
Instead of just like a small photo, he had just an A4 size sheet of paper.
They're asking for it now. My printer doesn't have photo paper. I've got A4. Or like, I guess US letter or whatever size he was using, but yeah.
Oh, that is so embarrassing.
I love when people do like LeBron James style of lying, but they actually have to like prove
follow
it.
Up. Yeah.
Like, Oh gosh, that's awesome.
If anyone listening doesn't know about all the various gaffes of Eric Adams, we're not going to be the one to tell you about it because he is an American politician. He has just dipped his toe into the world of Eurovision definition of Europe, which does include Turkey. So here he is for us to talk about briefly. This also reminded me of... Okay, I'm going to have to send you images. This is in the chat because New York is... I don't think this is under
Istanbul. It's the Istanbul of the U.S. I know. New York's the Istanbul of New York. Yeah, they've been saying that.
What can I tell you? It's just you and Chevy Chase from the Turkicola ads, where he just keeps drinking Turkicola
and becoming more Turkish. And more and more Turkish. Yeah, it's frightening.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm. Because we're recording in Skype, which means I can paste in images, which is great. Hang on.
I'm sorry.
this is great. No, because in the spirit of New York is the Istanbul of New York, I also got recently reminded of...
Oh my God, I forgot about this. Thank you.
Oh yeah, Nick knows
what
this. Of course Nick knows this.
Russia?
So,
oh no.
So there was a time in New York where Turkey bought like a multiracial flash mob with pogo sticks to basically deny the Armenian genocide.
Oh my God.
And I've just sent all the photos I have of this right now.
What the fuck? What the fuck? The pogo sticks.
New York, the city's so good they named it twice.
I love how then that they could just like try this now and it could probably work because it just says Russia plus Armenia, and it's just man. Over the Statue of Liberty. I mean, you know, if anything can get the Americans denying the Armenian genocide, I think it'd be the threat of. Lady Liberty engulfed in, you know, clouds of the words Russia.
But it is like, I think this is genuinely, in the sense that New York is the Istanbul of New York, a thing I've always been saying. it's actually written on my t-shirt right now. I love saying this. This is the largest city you could probably get away with this in, because the second largest city in America, Los Angeles, would fucking punch and kill all these people due to their large Armenian diaspora population. Yep.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. It's like you've like Kim Kardashian and various members of System of a Down have incited a riot against this multiracial like fucking improv troupe. Look at their faces. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, none of them, you know, I guess they're getting paid, but none of them like stopped and thought like, what are we doing, guys?
We're doing we're doing genocide denial.
You do not get far in the pogo stick flash mob business by asking questions, Zuma, all right?
Yeah, but I always wonder that from like do you know that horrible video, anti-Palestine video that this like German comedy, whatever, like put out of like the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, so like there is clearly like an Arab actor it. So it's like, why? Like, why do you agree to be in these things? Like, I don't know. I whatever.
It's Uma, it's comedy. It's comedy. It's improv. You do not get far by asking questions.
Yeah, just,
if someone laughs, it's morally correct.
Yeah, you know, it's satire, so you wouldn't get it.
It's you.
You wouldn't get it.
anyway, moving away from the fun image that is Kim Kardashian starting a riot. Unlike that Kylie Jenner handing a Pepsi to a Coke.
No,
to a police
Kendall.
Officer.
Kendall.
Was that Kendall?
Please,
oh, I don't know.
Uncultured. It was Kendall. It was a Pepsi fucking ad during riots. The Black Lives Matter riots, whatever. Protests.
It was clearly filmed before those happened, because like production wasn't that quick, but it was just like they still released it, and it's like, all right, come on, guys.
Nobody thought, like, maybe we shouldn't release it, like, you know, guys.
No, no, they were all pretty convinced that if we just hand the cops a Pepsi, we'll fix racism in this country.
And the cop was black as well, so it's like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you trying to do here?
Exactly. America's not ready for this.
No. It's too woke. Too woke.
Yeah, too woke. Speaking of too woke, Pedro Sanchez.
The wokest of them all. It's Spain has been a mess this past week. Has it been? Yeah, okay. Like a week already. So, okay, quick background context, whatever. We had elections in Spain in July. Mm-hmm. Because before that, there were like autonomous community elections, like municipal elections. And Pepe and Vox, which is the right wing and the far right party, basically like won almost everywhere. Mm. So Pedro Sanchez was like, okay, you know, fine, I'll admit defeat. That means that we need to do, elections. And so he called snap elections?
Yeah.
For snap elections in July, they happened. I got to vote. Great. Amazing. Democracy. So.
And you fixed everything, right?
And I fixed I personally fixed everything.
Yeah, Uma,
and
you
Uma,
did this.
Yeah, Uma, you're on. We have you on the show to thank you because everything in Spain has been rocking so much.
Yeah.
It's been thanks to me, guys. You know, you're welcome. Here from Germany.
Yeah,
Germany controlling Spain once again.
Yeah, you had to move here to like realize like, oh, like I just had to move here in order to gain complete control of another European country. It was that easy.
Yep, exactly.
I also feel, yeah, they just give you other European countries when you arrive here.
These are a sign. Yeah, European countries.
I run Slovakia. It's hilarious.
I'm like the Grand Viceroy of Malta. It kind of sucks.
Hell yeah. It sucks. No, just that title alone.
Everyone keeps dying in freak accidents.
But my new plan to make Hit Me Baby One More Time the national anthem is going over swimmingly. Everyone loves this. Number one Maltese American, Britney Spears.
Hell yeah. But yeah, so, and then Pepe kind of won the elections. However, they didn't have absolute majority to actually govern. Govern. So they did like the parliament voted if they were going to give the presidency to Feijó, who was the PP candidate or PP candidate, whatever. And
bro's the PP candidate. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but also yes.
Yeah, I know. We laugh, but he is. And he lost. And it was really funny to see him lose. He was very mad about it, very petty. So then the next candidate was Pedro Sanchez again. And today, officially, he was voted into presidency again by MPs. How did that happen? He basically had to do an amnesty pact with the Catalan parties, political parties, because since like 10 years, basically, some Catalans have been, including since 2017, some politicians have been put in jail or have been in exile, like Puigdemont, because of the Catalan independence movement, right? So in 2017, I think it was 1st of October, we had the referendum, which at the time, the president of Spain was Rajoy, also PP, and he said that it was illegal. So, you know, thousands of cops were sent from all over Spain to Catalonia to stop it, to stop the referendum. And then Puigdemont, who was a Catalan president at the time, he went into exile, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they wanted to put him in prison. And some Catalan politicians, like Junqueras, actually did go to prison and were there for like 5 years, something like that. Like quite a, or four, quite a long time. And yeah, so the conditions for the Catalan parties to say yes to his investiture was an amnesty law and actual progress in talking about Catalan independence. Because when he was like reelected again in 2020, you know, he was saying like, yeah, we're, you know, we're going to have a, they call it table of dialogue. Just like, we're going to sit down and just like talk about Catalan independence.
See, we're going to make the haters, the waiters at the table.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but that hasn't really happened. Obviously, more important things like a pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him that much in that sense. However, you know, it's been 3 years since the pandemic and nothing really has happened. There hasn't been really like any meetings. There's just like, there hasn't been any progress whatsoever. So this amnesty law, besides the fact that, you know, the people that are in prison or are in exile will be released or, you know, will be allowed to come back to Catalonia. Sorry, fucking UCD keeps calling me because they think that I want to give them money. It's like, you already took like $6,000 from me. Fucking.
I have money.
Oh my God. So the alumni office keeps calling me. It's always at like 8 p.m. as well. What the fuck? Go home.
Yeah, that's the money hour. That's when all rich people are like, God, I have too much money.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like by the fireplace thinking, oh, God damn it. I want to give 2 million euros to...
How's my college doing? Does it have enough money?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, actually, yeah, if you think about it, like if there's like rich old people, they're probably like slightly tipsy at this point of the day. Like,
yeah, because they're all retired. So,
they're all retired and they're all just probably like, oh, I'm on my like fifth drink now. So, you know, my wallet's, you know, feeling kind of heavy.
Yeah. I'm saving all this money by buying those really tiny bottles of schnapps from the and just keeping a steady flow of those throughout the day. Just, never, you know, drunk, but never sober.
Just a nagging.
What kind of
schnapps.
Rich person are you thinking of? What kind of rich person buys the tiny little bottles? Rich people are like allowed to own their alcoholism.
We have poor people mentality, sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah, come on. I would at least expect a little bit more rich people imagination from my two co-hosts. Do you not dream of grinding?
No, not really.
Never, no. And I my understanding of the alcohol section of any supermarket is that the locked cabinet with the expensive alcohol in it, the key isn't owned by someone who works there. They actually just give you the key when you're rich enough so you can open it yourself and get it.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
yeah, that was... Sorry, the listeners are like, what the fuck is this whiplash?
No, they enjoy our insights into our rich lives.
Into UCD calling, pestering me for money.
Us sitting around the fire, drinking tiny bottles of alcohol.
But yeah, anyway, the whole point is that the right... the right in general was just not happy that Feijo wasn't elected, obviously. But now they're even... less happy because Sanchez has made pacts with the Catalans, you know, like he's a traitor and basically he's a traitor and he's helping the Catalans destroy Spain. That's a whole like mentality.
Hell yeah.
I know.
Thank goodness someone's getting around to doing that.
I know. Kieran sent me like unironically people started making this like
I can find it. I can
The logo. Yeah. So the logo of PSOE is like a hand holding a rose because they're socialist, whatever.
Social Democrat. Yeah, logo.
So the right wingers started making that logo, but like instead of holding a rose, it's holding a dagger, and it's like separating Catalonia from Spain.
That's so sick. That
was like, pretty good image.
If it wasn't PSOE, I would like. Because Karen was like, do you want this on a t-shirt? I was like, people will think I vote PSOE. But like, that is a sick, you know, image.
Can I have it as a sticker?
Yeah, a sticker is fine. Exactly.
I can make a version of this where I replace the rose with the Cornish Bailey logo if you want.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool.
for our our eventual Barcelona show where everyone hates us.
But yeah, they're really not happy. And then last week, because they knew that the investiture of Sanchez was looming. No, sorry, because last week it was when he actually reached the agreement, the amnesty law, yeah, whatever, with the Catalans. They really tried to do a January 6th. However, not in like Congress or anywhere important, but the the PSOE headquarters, which has like what, 3 interns and like, you know, 1 cleaning person in it at 8 p.m.
I love how Spain, for whatever reason, has real like Simpsons energy. It's like,
it does.
It's like, oh, well, you know, we couldn't like storm like, you know, the parliament or whatever. That's too much effort. But, you know, like this office building is sure like, you know, that'll do.
I was already here.
Yeah. I was in the neighborhood.
Neighborhood and I wanted to storm like the closest thing that's kind of related to this.
No. They're smart, actually. You don't understand, because they're playing like 3D chess. So what's happening here is January 6th fails, right? Because they bit off too much that they can chew. You know, they storm Congress and they're basically just a bunch of people staring, waiting for like a cutscene to trigger. Nothing happens. So what they're corrected to, undefended, take over PSOE headquarters. We are now PSOE. PSOE is now based. Fuck Catalans. Fuck the Basque.
Yeah.
If I take their base, it just becomes mine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I own Pedro Sanchez now.
Yeah, when you conquer like a base in like a Command and Conquer game, just like Pedro Sanchez turns blue. Like he works. Yeah,
the building just like flips itself inside out and it's just completely different now.
Yeah.
But so they went there, and it's just very fucking funny because these people, you know, they say they love Spain, they love the constitution, they love the king. However, now the king is a traitor as well, because it is the king that gives the permission to have a president. So it was the king who chose Sanchez as the next candidate. So suddenly they were saying all these things like against the king, against like the constitution, da da da. That it's like they just seemed very confused about what they stand for and who they like and who they dislike. And they also started hating the Spanish press, because the Spanish press calls them like far right, whatever. However, the Spanish press, the mainstream Spanish press, is with them. And they started saying chants that we would say in Catalonia, like Prensa Española Manipuladora, which means like Spanish press, you manipulate people, whatever.
Mm.
And that's what we would say in Catalonia during the whole thing. And we were all like, we should, you know, they should pay for copyright, because like they're certainly like they're against us, but they're copying all our chants that we have been saying. And
this has happened because of the like duplicitous and tricking nature of the Catalan people. They tricked us into becoming them. They tricked our king, who is secretly Catalan.
You know, when you trick someone's king, that you also own the king too. That's another thing that they don't tell you about.
Flipped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, like.
Yeah, everyone's just trying to be the fucking missionary unit from Age of Empires. Yeah. Where you just run up to a building and go, oh, no, 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 no. And then, like, the whole unit converts.
Speaking of missionaries, they're praying every night in front of the office building.
Yeah.
They're trying
to do it.
I'm serious.
That's the problem with January 6th. That was the problem to Protestant. Now it's Catholic.
Now it's the Catholics. And they're praying, and it's very scary because they're crying and, you know, all of that. And there's this one guy who thinks he's Captain America, which is like, why are you Captain America in Madrid?
And maybe he has like Spain, maybe.
Yeah, but
just try this. I don't know.
But he's very confused about his cosplay, because he has the Captain America shield, but he was wearing a Conquistadores, like 1492 fucking helmet.
Mm.
Because, you know, Spain. And yeah, he was seen there. He was like, you know, I'm very disappointed at the lack of costumes. January 6th at least was like, you know, you had some fashion in there.
Yeah, there was some fun. There's the shaman, I last I checked, has actually registered to run in a in the like state congress that he's, I can't remember, I think Missouri.
of course.
Yeah. So he's coming back. I enjoyed some, there were some clips I enjoyed of, I have to look very closely at my phone now. Hang on. this is like the fucking old man that I am. I'm going to say, cause it's really small text, Vito Chias.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. He had a great day where he's like, starts off the day, like tweeting, like, to everyone who asks, okay, the translation of the first sentence didn't work. But the important thing is he said, long live our national police, and then a little Spanish flag emoji. And then about 4 hours later, the sun has set and he's been tear gassed. It's just footage of him crying on camera.
It just went so viral because he is known on Twitter for being like, he tries to pass off as a journalist. However, he is... clearly not. He's just someone on Twitter with, sadly, a large following.
Sure.
And he... so everyone that has, like, more than two brain cells hates him because he just, like, he will tweet any, like, all fake info, fake, you know, fake news, and they will swallow it all. And, yeah, he is always like, yeah, we love the police. Hell yeah, Spanish police. And then he posts this video. I don't know if it was him or, like, someone with him, whatever. But it was him. Crying, screaming, I just got tear gassed for fucking defending Spain. crying his eyes out. And it is honestly the funniest thing I have ever seen. Like... It just all of these guys like going, oh, do you know who the fuck was there? Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, you
met. Hell yeah, he fucking was.
I got so mad when I saw him.
That was very funny because it was probably Tucker Carlson in a crowd of the most Tucker Carlson looking motherfuckers on the planet that I have ever seen in my life. So it was kind of hard to notice him. But yeah, he was there. I'm sure he's going to post a video about it that no one will watch because it's exclusively on X.com.
Of course, but I do love how Tucker Carlson has also become the like Carmen Sandiego of the right. Like in a moment's notice, he'll be in Budapest, he'll be in Madrid, he'll be anywhere that you need him to be.
He was in London visiting Assange in Belmarsh prison. With Stella Assange, who is like the weirdest woman on earth. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry for what she's going through, but like, she has such weird ideals and whatever. But, and then after visiting Assange, she just decided to go to Madrid. He saw that, you know, they were trying to do January 6th, whatever. And he hopped on a plane. And it was this Monday. And I talked to, like a journalist that was there, and I was like, oh, did you see Tucker Carlson? And it was like, I kind of like at some point I saw like some people get excited, but I didn't know what it was, and I just, you know, I left. And apparently it was Tucker Carlson with Santiago Abascal, who is the head of Vox. However, Santiago Abascal doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
So how the fuck did they communicate with each other? I think they had like a translator just like trailing behind them while they were taking selfies.
Person's not paid enough.
Oh no.
I like the idea of just like, because the problem you're seeing in like American politics is this like overly online and overly like weird version of like politics is just like not working for Republicans. I heard a story recently of like there was a local Republican meeting somewhere in Kentucky, and they basically got together in a restaurant and watched the like police cam footage of like the murder of Breonna Taylor, I believe it is.
Oh my god,
what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's genuinely insane. And, like, everyone complained, and they're never allowed to come back to the restaurant and stuff anymore because they, like, hijacked the entire, like, Bluetooth speaker system. So, like, everyone heard it and it was, like, really loud and basically
oh
just, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, they basically... like, the people organizing it showed, like, the people coming, like, a snuff film, effectively. And, like... that is just, like, where a lot of the Republican Party is the moment of just, like, we've kind of gone insane, and we also expected all of our, like, regular voters to also go insane with us, but yeah. Then they haven't.
Yeah. But in Spain, they have.
No, because I can totally imagine just, like, the guy who, like knows where a bunch of secret Francoist mass graves is. He's, like, in his 80s, and then he's just, like, told to care about some fucking goober called Tucker Carlson. He's just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That guy's got a fucking, like, English name. Fuck this.
Oh, yeah, no, like, it was literally only, like, the very young online people who knew.
Yeah.
Like, I saw footage of him walking around with Abascal, and he was basically just literally like teenagers taking selfies yeah. with him. Everybody else was like, who the fuck is this dude? Because obviously they're like Spanish rent, like retired people. I don't know, yeah. you know, they're not online or are online, but like in Spanish circles. So, but yeah, but it's also been very interesting to see the dynamics inside the protest, because there's so many people, there's like, normal-ish right-wing people, as normal as you can be. And then there's, like, straight-up Nazis. And yeah. they've been, like, getting in fights with each other. Like, literally, like, beating each other up. Because yeah. the Nazis are Nazis. And the other ones are like, stop being a Nazi. And they're like, who the fuck are you talking about? And then...
yeah. But is that the classic thing that happens in Spain sometimes of like people being neo-Nazis and then other people getting angry, be like, no, we have our own brand of fascism. Why aren't you doing that instead?
Maybe as so well, this, yeah.
This fucking German
I hate imported fascism. That's just
They're like, we have local fascism at home, you know.
We've got like farm to table phalangism. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Also, I've seen so many flags with like the phalanges symbol. Obviously, yeah. nothing is being done about them, even though they're supposed to be illegal with the new law from last year. But yeah, it's been a doozy because they haven't even like, they're not even that many people. They haven't really like what? Like Sanchez is president today. That's it. You know, like what else? And why are you in the office building? Do you think fucking Sanchez is ever gonna set foot in that office building?
Or like he just misses it for this one night.
Or
like, I can give that a dodge tonight. You know, I don't need to go there that bad.
Yeah, I can work from home. You know, I have a laptop.
Yeah, it's grand. It's the traffic's unreal at the moment.
yeah, for some reason. It's I don't know. Whatever. I mean, you know.
I saw one clip that was circulating for a while because everyone thought it was Blast from the Past, Isabella Peralta.
I was going to mention that one. Yeah, yeah. It sadly wasn't her. It's so funny.
It's an unreal clip, though. Like, if we can do our best to describe it. Can you describe it as best you can? Or?
Yeah, I was showing it to everybody in the office, like laughing my ass off. Basically, it went viral because they thought it was this very known Nazi, well, Francoist girl called Isabel.
She's done the Hitler Roots. She's done the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, she goes to, like, fascist rallies and, like, she's a speaker there. Like, she's well-known in, like, the Nazi world and Francoist world in Spain and internationally as well. I think she went to Germany with, like, Mein Kampf or something like that. She was... I seem to remember she tried to go to Germany with like a Nazi flag and they like confiscated it in the airport or something like that. She's also not the sharpest tool in the shed. But anyway, so there this video went viral that it's like it's this woman that is being arrested, but like when they're going to put her in the van, there's a moment that nobody's looking at her and she tries to run away. But she's like looking back while she runs. She's not even like putting in the effort. She's not like she just
wants to be chased.
Yeah, like ooh, you know.
I get it. That's fun. I mean, it's not fun, but
And then obviously the police like grab her because you know she only ran like a meter. And
yeah, because this is a Looney Tunes ass country. Like
it is, yeah. But like the she wasn't even trying. She wanted to be arrested. And they grab her and they're like, "What are you doing? What are you trying to do?" And she's like, "Oh, I just look, you know, grab my phone, like I need to call my kids, da da da." And they're like, "No, you just tried to run away from being arrested. Like, what are you doing?" And they're literally telling her off, like the police. It's so
white. So I see this clip with like no ability to understand what's being said, but it's just a very impressive clip because it's filmed by someone on the side of the street, so they get the full shot of her like coming out of the van, legging it down the street, and like getting caught pretty much immediately. Because this is the branch of the Spanish police that actually like work out or whatever.
They're the riot police. Like they're fucking massive.
This isn't your Chief Wiggums of the world kind of shit. Like this is so she's immediately caught. I don't understand any of this, but just like, I don't understand why, like, when a cop asks you why you did that, why you respond with anything other than just like, "Well, come on, I had to chance it." Like, really?
wouldn't
you?
It's just so funny because they're like telling her off. Like, they're so annoyed. Like, why did you do that? Just like, I need to call my children.
Why do you think?
Yeah,
just, oh yeah,
I'm going to jail.
I would rather not. Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it. It's been fun, and now Pedro Sanchez is officially prime minister, president of the Congress, or whatever.
He's gonna destroy Spain, baby. Can't wait.
Yep.
God, yeah. Loving it. Hopefully.
Well, speaking of destroying things.
All right, yeah. Let's transition.
Oh, may we? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's it. Like, Sanchez is president. They're trying to still protest. I guess they're not going to go anywhere. Whatever.
The only difference between Sanchez and, like, every other social democratic politician in Europe is that he actually seems to want to win.
Yeah.
Is like the only thing he is going for them. He doesn't like bend over backwards to like give the right wing everything you want. He's just like, "Actually, yes, I will be president. Thank you. This rules."
Yeah. Oh, that was sorry. No.
No. Go on.
It's just like yesterday they were the debates. So it was like him talking and then people like whatever. And it's just funny that you mentioned that he wants to win because he would not stop making fun of Feijóo and the fact that he lost. And it was so fucking funny because, like, Feijóo, you could see his face. He was trying so hard not to be embarrassed and, like, to be, like, a good sport or whatever.
I'm not affected. Like, I'm not a corn cop. Don't tell him.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. But, it was just really funny because, like, Pedro Sanchez was just making fun of Feijóo and literally, like, laughing. Like, he started laughing to himself and the whole Congress was also laughing. It was just funny. But, yeah. Speaking of destroying things.
Oh, yeah. I feel that we don't give enough attention to girl bosses on this show.
Well, this is because of our mandated sexism.
Sexism that Kieran and I overwhelmingly passed without any votes of anyone else, that this is 100% the man's zone. But, you know, sometimes we like to, put some light on, you know, women who are having some pretty, boss-like qualities. And destroying the German left is definitely, the Cornerspäti boss chica moment of the week. Or I guess the month, if you will. So for those who don't know, if you are not in Germany, the past few months now have been quite chaotic for Die Linke, or their fraction of the party that is in parliament in the Bundestag. Mm. So before we go any further, you need to have obviously either the 5% threshold, or you need to have a certain amount of what are they called?
Direct
mandate candidates. Yeah. So Die Linke got into parliament by the direct mandate loophole, not the 5% threshold, like barely under it by like literally like one seat. And like they have 38 seats currently in the parliament anyway. You need 37 to make a fraction. Well, Zsáv Vajgnech decided 2 months ago, yeah, you know, I want to make my own party before the European elections. And just 12 other people along with her, so 13 people just left Die Linke at the beginning, at the end of September, I think it was, or beginning of October. Dates don't matter. What's coming next matters. So then, now that there's these members from the former members from Die Linke who are now officially leaving the party, and then therefore losing the minimum that they need of 37 members in the Bundestag, Die Linke Fraktion has to then now disappear. I mean, the members in parliament are still going to be there, of course, until then the next election, but the money that they get, the people who work for the Fraktion, all everything like that are like all going to be gone by December 6th. So the future of Die Linke as a party is definitely up in the air, because Zsáv Vajgnech has now then formed the Zsáv Vajgnech Bündnis, or the Bündnis Zsáv Vajgnech, technically, so the BSW, which apparently is going to have an official name in the beginning of next year, when they have the official party formation and everything like that. So
yeah,
Germany,
they're not sticking with Big Zsáv Vajgnech.
Yeah, Big Zsáv Vajgnech, yeah. So, and that's, I guess, the, you know, overlying, you know, more or less the quickest summary that I can possibly give there. The thing that's very interesting is also the members of parliament who then left Die Linke. They're kind of people who are from like the further left, kind of like anti-imperialist side of things of Die Linke. Some of them are, not all of them, which is just quite interesting, I think, from the sense that then Zsáv Vajgnech's also gotten a lot of fire for her, you know, in the past, obviously, her like kind of red-brown-ish sort of takes on things, now regardless of how much truth there is or not into that. I mean, Die Linke has not been very very left-wing lately.
No, the rest of Die Linke is not necessarily much better, for sure. So, this has always been like an overarching problem of the German left.
Yeah, so we're getting a new left-wing party. It may, unfortunately, be one of the most unfortunate ones. And that's kind of saying a lot in the sense of that then, I don't know. I mean, it comes at a really weird time, too, especially like with like Die Linke's. I mean, this happened before the Israel Gaza stuff, but Die Linke's position on the Ukraine war was definitely something that then was already splitting the party enough to begin with. And now that it's kind of seeing in the sense that then particularly... now the Gaza Israel's bombing of Gaza has then also had then Die Linke give very shitty answers to that as well, to then where I'm seeing a lot of members of Die Linke posting memes about Die Linke dying, is like,
I thought you were gonna say memes of like what's going on. I was like, Jesus, fuck.
No. Yeah. Like local, like local people in Die Linke, particularly like Ferenc Kocsák or like Der Neue Kölner.
Yeah,
I was pretty vocal about that. He's like kind of fine with it because Die Linke has so much shitty baggage with their push towards last election. Remember, was to become more like activist oriented as their party. And actually, there's a very good interview on with Lauren Ballhorn on Spaßbremse a few months ago or so, where Ted and Lauren talked about Die Linke and kind of like the future of the party, this and that, or like what the party's problems are, this and that. And it was a very good overview. And I think in the sense that Lauren really touches on this better than I could ever, in the sense of how Die Linke always kind of like lost that momentum of being like this like workers party, and you would have their like canvassers go around to the point of being like, hi, are you a member of the precariat? And it's embarrassing. It really is, where it's like you see then like it just is kind of a sad excuse, it feels like, half the time for like the only legitimate left-wing party in this country. I mean, the SPD is like literally passing every single law that they possibly can as close to like, you know, the like, you know, German blood purity laws as we're getting. And
yeah.
Die Linke in opposition, who, remember, for like a split second was like considered of possibly joining in a coalition with the SPD and the Greens, if that to then were have been allowed. However, there was kind of a general overarching thing that no one was going to actually go through with that because Die Linke performed so badly.
Yeah, like if we turn back the clock to like 2021, the campaign was basically, I'm not sure if Die Linke was ever really considered a threat, but like just trying to punish the SPD and the Greens for ever working with Die Linke, namely in Berlin, and just kind of like whip the Greens mostly on a national level into like a don't work with Die Linke kind of
space. Yeah, and it was definitely a narrative that was very much funneled in through German right-wing media. You know, it was very much a phoned-in sort of thing of like, oh yeah, like we can't let Germany become Berlin. And it's like, your underlying problem is like that everyone here like is under a right-wing government. Like, I don't think it's the possibility. It's like Germany is like a fucking casino, it feels like, half the time, especially with just seeing like the newest, like, I don't know if you guys saw this thing the other day, yesterday actually, the Supreme Court of Germany knocked down this like bizarre funding loophole that the coalition tried to do from like leftover corona money to put it into like climate stuff, green stuff. It was very not specific, but the Bundesverfassungsgericht said that it was like against the law, that it was against the constitution to just like take money that was for something else and just put it for something else. However, then it also like triggered a discussion again about the debt break.
No, that thing.
Yeah, so it's like, well, yeah, you know, like you can't gamble money away for climate shit. That's for like, you know, other tomfoolery, like, I don't know, military spending and like, yeah, I don't know, like speculating on the like Wohnungsmarkt or like creating new markets or new loopholes so that then we can do anything but create social housing. Yeah, you know, like, no. You, what do you mean? Like, no. That money's illegal.
As you see here, this is monopoly.
Look over
money
here, while that like literally the entire country is doing fucking tax evasion. Yeah.
So. It's a weird one. But going back to what's happening, Die Linke had too many like internal divides, and I guess this is finally collapsed because my memory of 2021 with the whole like movementist wing and workerist wing of Die Linke fighting, their solution to that was kind of along the lines of, let's just try and ignore this problem, and like pretend. And that didn't work because even like people who are not like terribly obsessed with politics could still recognize that Die Linke was falling apart. I think the line I used once when we were talking about Spassbremse of like, you don't need to know why a guy is like going through a midlife crisis. You can recognize when a guy is going through a midlife crisis. You don't need to know the ins and outs of why. And that was kind of the vibe Die Linke was putting out, of just this internal divide. At part, a lot of times stoked by like Wagenknecht herself. She like published a book that was like, here's why you shouldn't vote for Die Linke, while she was like a member of the party. So that kind of like was weird. But then,
well, she saw the if I did it by O.J. Simpson. She's like, yo, what if I did that for politics?
And then to throw in a little skepticism about Big Sarah Wagenknecht is like, we've been here before. Like, she did try make Aufstehen her like. Ironically, her movement, or like cross party left alliance type thing.
Yeah. Now,
and
hear me out. All right.
Okay.
Hear me out. All right. I'm in no way defending Salvan Connect. I'm in no way defending any of this silliness. I think it is a bit shitty of her to be doing this, especially when like Die Linke or just the left in Germany very much has like tapped out like 7 times already. And the ref is just not giving a shit. The ref just wants to see blood, clearly.
Stop. He's already dead.
Yeah, exactly. So Zav Vagnik doing this is in the moment pretty shit. But it's kind of one of those things, too, that then it's like, now, we're going to be talking about this, like, into the future. I mean, the more that we go into talking about European elections, because their party's going to actually exist. And going into, you know, later German elections or, you know, German political stuff, this and that. And that's seeing how polling...
A big one for her is next year is the next... touring and
yeah, exactly.
Stage
so then the thing is that then there's also there's always the discussion that then well maybe like having because like Die Linke is not going to disappear as a party, having then a second other left wing party could then be this thing that then attracts people who would like you know the red brown thing, you know. I'm very curious to see if the polling is right with the Wagenknecht party because the numbers are stupid high. Especially in Thüringen, where she'd be getting like 20% of the vote or something like that.
And she'd be stealing it mostly
from AfD. The AfD. So it's like, if this is some like Wagenknecht playing fucking 5D chess with us and she's going to like save the left, then you know what? I will unfortunately have to give it to someone who I really don't like and her politic that I don't like. I understand in the point that she does have problematic features of her. However... there is no left-wing party really in Germany. Like, Die Linke is a party that then is like, I mean, they're going to have to regroup. There may be then even like other left-wing groups that then get people who come and join them instead for like, you know, like one election cycle or something. But who knows? But they'll still exist in Thüringen. They'll still exist in their strongholds, you know. They'll still exist in Berlin, you know. Like, I think that it'll come down to the sense that they'll just, I think that there's a big focus right now too, especially within the discussion of that then how a party that then's left wing particularly deals with themselves, one being anti-war, which is something that then Die Linke never actually was good about currently, since they had no coherent position. It was either a bunch of like people in like the like more like, you know, Brandenburg and like the kind of like, you know, states like the former East German states having a much more like pro-Russian stance to their quote-unquote anti-war thing, which was very confusing and is very much a real thing within that type of the, which is, it's not even a horseshoe theory thing. It's like, it is like the nostalgia thing of it is a thing that is, I think, kind of like slightly like removed from politics and is more just like lost hope more than anything. There is like, there is entire ideological confusion, you know, where the, like that there are people in like Die Linke who like do support like the DPR, you know, who are like the member and like they're just like these like 75-year-old like, you know, people in like Brandenburg or whatever. Like that person's real. Like I've met this person.
You go into someone's apartment, you're like, oh no, a Confederate flag. It's like, no, you don't understand.
No, it's the yeah, exactly. These people are real, you know, they exist very much more, I would say, in groups like the DKP or the MLPD and whatnot. They're much less vocal now, but there are like little things and like, you know,
but like
those things.
A more concerning problem, which I'm very concerned. I don't think Zara Wagner is going to get rid of this issue, but like the 3 direct mandates that Die Linke got last election came from cities, 2 from Berlin. Which kind of indicates more of a pro-Palestinian stance, but then in the exact opposite direction, 1 from Leipzig, which indicates the other.
Oh, yeah, no, the party makes no sense because the party's dealing with like a million contradictions internally, and it just makes sense that they were going to implode. I mean, it's too many. The leadership of the party is like trying to become more like, you know, centrist and more appealing. And a lot of people in the party, there was a member from the Greens who left the Greens today and joined Die Linke. So it's like in some cases, maybe that strategy will work for then if like maybe Die Linke will turn into like a more, I guess, you know, just like the SPD from what, like, you know, the SPD before like Schröder and all that, but still very much just like a neoliberal left-wing party, because that's kind of what they are now, like at least on the top mm-hmm. leadership level of it, like Dietmar Bosch and stuff like that. They are more trying to push towards like where the Greens were maybe like a decade or so ago. And right. Like a lot of people, especially who are older, don't like that aspect of the party. They still vote for them. They're still members of the party. But remember, there's like a lot of local activist groups who don't like the this push from the party. We're seeing like, I mean, I mentioned Ferenc Kocsák, for example.
Yeah.
Perfect example of someone who's much further left wing than the party heads are. So, I mean, it's too many things happening simultaneously. Maybe the Wagenknecht thing will whip Die Linke into shape. I mean, to be honest, it's like, if you're going to have the position that then at least like the Bundestag level of the party is going to be, it's like then that part of the party just already kind of exists in like the Greens. Like you just want like feel good activism. You just don't want to be seen as being a Green. You want to be seen as being left. Like,
yeah.
Dietmar Bosch even comes from the SPD, you know, from Schröder's SPD. So
yeah, I'm very curious. I'm also a little apprehensive because the main thing I always think about, and they've published some dodgy stuff regarding what's happening in the Middle East for sure, but like Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung or the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation is basically like an institution that props up the left in a lot of different countries. Like without them, there isn't like a left wing voice in a handful of European countries. Or like if there is, they don't get a lot of money. And that's very much tied to the electoral success of Die Linke, isn't it? Like the money they receive from the German government.
Oh yeah, like the money from that's gonna is gonna disappear. Sorry, Dietmar Bosch was not part of the SPD. I was thinking of Oskar Lafontaine.
Yeah. He's yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, but that's a good update. We should get like someone who knows the inter-party stuff, I think, a bit better. Lauren would be a good guest.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Surely there would be someone close enough to
a million
people willing to talk to about this. But yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, the thing, it sucks because like Die Linke is a party that then if I could vote in Germany, I would support them. But it's like they're also like ideologically so fuck. But I like them more so because like their local level politics, their Bundestag level politics is kind of like that. Like, you know, they have to exist on the Bundestag level, but I'd wish that they wouldn't do it in this regard because the thing about them is that I would say on the Bundestag level is that they kind of every like bad take that they like the German left kind of has is like personified there.
Yeah, but that is kind of what happened with the direct mandate stuff. Is like everyone who voted for Die Linke voted for them because of local shit. Like the national Die Linke in the last election was very unimpressive.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
well,
anyway, we will be filling you in more with that spicy drama. You know, again, like I said, girl boss of the
month.
The past 3 months, but yeah, sure.
Oh, no, we've had some girl bosses.
Yeah, no, Ursula true.
Von der Leyen.
Yeah, that fucking Mount Rushmore. Could you imagine that?
That one woman who ran from the Spanish police.
Yeah, Ursula von der Leyen. That woman who ran from the police. Zsa Wagenknecht, and I don't know. That's my Mount Rushmore, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Maloney getting divorced. Maloney, she's striking
Maloney
out.
Getting divorced. She's on her own now. Just a real group of winners.
That's crazy that she like got divorced because he was asking for threesomes or something.
Yes, yeah.
He was just being Italian, as we discussed about with Milo.
Yeah, because he was doing like every character from House of Gucci in a work day. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we will catch you on the bonus feed. Do we have anything to plug or shout out?
No.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Donation link for Medical Aid Palestine in the description. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I love you. See you next week. How do I end podcasts?
Bye.
I love you. Bye bye.